You know, it's amazing that the two commandments, well, the commandment that Jesus gave for us to love and the Great Commission is to give the gospel. That these two are the main thrusts, as far as he's concerned, for his people in this world. To walk in love and to give the gospel. I hope we're equipped to do so. If you don't feel equipped, then join us. Let's help. I believe very firmly in that. If you can take your Bibles, please, with me. We're just going to read a couple of verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's probably verses that are well known to you. We're going to pick up the reading from verse 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's a good word from God's word, isn't it? Oh, Lord, help us. You know, this idea of being one who is a reconciler, one who's given to that ministry of reconciliation. I'm an ordained Baptist minister. I remember as I was pastoring a particular church in Cardiff, and I remember one day I was going to get in the car, and as I was going in, I was saying to the Lord in prayer, I said, Lord, they're really tired of hearing the gospel. These pastors do tell the Lord those things. And I said, Lord, and to give you an idea, sometimes I would have a guy sitting in my church and he would go like this to me. And that would start after 10 minutes. So one day I just looked at him, I said, do you have a problem with your watch? He said, well, you can't say that. I can. God told Jeremiah, don't be afraid of their faces. Yeah? He says, I'll make your life bronze. And he gives that grace. And so as I was going to get in the car and I was saying, Lord, they don't want to hear it. And he very quietly, but it was very clear, then tell them for me. Something dropped down deep into my heart. It's not my message. It's his. He's the one that says, proclaim it. As if God is speaking through me to you, be reconciled to God. God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for you, so that in him you could become absolutely acceptable to God, the righteousness of God in him. And it changed the perception I had. Do you know God's given that ministry to those that belong to Jesus? And he's changed us so that we can become that. So that everywhere we go, we have the opportunity to lay out the seed of God's word and to see people's lives transformed. Let me share. I've been doing security work while church planting. They call it tent making. I think it refers to Paul when he was making tents to help supply the needs of him and his team. And so I work in Tesco's in St. Mellon's, at least did up till recently. I'd have prayer meetings at the front of Tesco's. People would come in and ask for prayer. I got an opportunity to share the gospel. I'm a security guard. No, I'm not. I'm a child of God. And as a child of God, wherever we go, we have the opportunity. Whether they like it or whether they don't. Whether they agree with us or whether they don't. Monday night, we were invited, my wife and I, to a function. And we didn't know much about it, but the local people who run the Indian food, it's a restaurant near us, invited us to this event. And we said okay out of kind of with them, and it had something to do with the commerce and the things between Bangladesh and Wales. Well, we got there, and after a little while, I realized that this being Ramadan, that them as Muslims, and I didn't realize they were, they invited us to when they break their fast at the end of the day. If I had known, I may not have gone. It may not have been my thing to want to go to that, but God kept that from me for a particular reason. And so as the meeting went on, and as they did their things, and I'm praying, and I'm saying, Lord, why do you have me here? And then the meeting comes to an end, and people are walking around, and then someone comes and says, oh, you're from America, and what do you do? I say, well, I'm a pastor. Oh, really? And then things begin to come out. We found ourselves in the midst of being surrounded literally by hundreds of Muslims that just got done doing their prayers in regards to Ramadan, sharing the gospel with people, laying hands on them, and praying for them that God would open their eyes. And you know how much fear I felt at that moment? Nada. I was surprised. After I got out of it, I thought, what did I do? This is what He's called us to, saints. But you know, it starts somewhere. It starts somewhere. We don't get into the kingdom by our activity. We don't get into the kingdom by an evolutionary process of trying to become Christian. We don't get into the kingdom by belonging to a particular denomination or going through particular rituals. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I remember when I went to Bible college and I looked up that verse. I had thought that when I first read it in my mind as I read it through, it sounded to me, if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation progressively over time. The old progressively goes and the new progressively comes. But that's not what the verse means. When you go to the Greek, and I did, I went and I studied it because I wanted to understand what it was talking about. It's in a perfect tense, a once for all transformation that happens to an individual. We're born again. We're placed in Christ. Our life dies and we're risen with Him in newness of life. Sometimes I hear Christians respond to, they say, well, you know, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. And who can know it? Quoting Jeremiah. True. But the new covenant says, I'm given a new heart. It says a new spirit is placed in me. That God no longer takes me by the hand to walk me out of situations, but He's one who actually comes and He lives and indwells in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm changed. And if anyone is in Christ, they become new. I've pastored for a number of years and I hear all sorts of different concepts and ideas that people present. And it's not patching up your old life. It's not trying to reform the old life. It's not even trying to clean up the old life or retrain it or dress it up. I hear people talk about my truth in these days.
my truth. It's my truth. And what they're saying is that my experience defines my reality. Most of the time in history when people did that, they were placed in an insane asylum because it's not in accordance with reality. It's not my truth. My experience is this, so it makes it real. No. When you agree with God's truth, then it's real. Then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We don't get to come up with our own truth. It's His truth, His revealed truth. Not what I feel, not what somebody thinks they hear. And I do believe the Spirit speaks. But all of that is compared with the written Word of God. It is the absolute and final authority for all of life and doctrine. Isn't that what our sister read not too long ago on the screen? Make sure you keep your doctrine and your life clear. Doing so, you'll save both yourself and your hearers. My truth. Do you know really at the basis of that means I'm wise in my own eyes and no one else can tell me anything different? It's not a ritualistic Christianity that we get into, where I went to this church thing, or I was baptized, or I was confirmed, I was dedicated. Those things are mere outward. They're supposed to be that which reveals and represents what takes place on an inward capacity. Because it's being born again of the Spirit of God, where God comes in and He actually sets up His dwelling place in you as a human being, as a person. We become the temple of God. We become a place where God is worshipped and praised and obeyed and followed. And it's His power that comes to live inside of a believer. It's not the ritual that does it. It's the Spirit of God coming and revealing Christ in us. Or this one is a real big one. It's the evolutionary concept. One day I'll get there. I hear that so often. People say, how are you doing? Well, I'm getting there. So I've decided, and I do it now. I say, well, where's that? Where are you getting there? When are you going to get there? People use these cliches, and we don't even have an idea of what we're even saying. Where are you going? What are you trying to get to? Do I have to stay up here? Can I walk down here? Is that all right? Sorry. Man, thanks. You know, what I find is that the religions of the world, they're constantly after attempting to get to a place of acceptance with God. Whether it's an eightfold path, or whether it's five pillars, or whether it's the 12 stations of the cross, whatever it is, people are constantly trying to get to where I know that I'm accepted by God. I'm approved of God. He loves me, and I'm in. And everything they do for their entire life is geared in that direction. Do you realize that's our starting point? That's your starting point. See, through Christ we're brought into the kingdom. Through Christ we're brought into that relationship. Do you know that you're already acceptable before God? The righteousness of Jesus, think about it. How beautifully righteous He is. How absolutely holy He is. How absolutely wonderful in every aspect of His being He is. And He says, here, I will accredit to your account my righteousness, and you will have absolute acceptance before the Father. For God to reject one of His kids, He'd have to say to Jesus, get out, because what you accomplished was not enough. Righteous are as bold as a lion, because we know we have acceptance with the Father. Do you ever do this when you go to pray? You spend the first 15 minutes thinking about how bad you've been, pleading with God, maybe He might have mercy on you and forgive you. And then, because of time, we got about 5 minutes to rejoice, and then we have to go. What if you could just boldly approach the throne of grace? What if really, with confidence, not in your righteousness, not in our rituals, not in, I'm getting there, but we could honestly walk in and say, Father. He's given us the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. He did it. I didn't have to work it up to get there. I didn't have to do a whole bunch of stuff hoping He might bring me in. I responded to the call of the gospel. I said, yes, Lord. Then You fix me. You save me. I turn from everything, Lord. I turn to You. You save me. You wash me. You make me clean. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Being involved in ministry and sharing things, it starts at the starting point of being part of His family. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. You ever heard this one? I alluded to it earlier. I was born that way. I hear it. When counseling and, you know, sometimes people say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. I'm just so bad. And I let them go on for a little while, and you can tell I probably don't do a lot of counseling courses because I don't do what they normally do. I turn around and say, yeah. I said, actually, it's much worse than that. In fact, it's so bad. What you've done is so heinous that the only way that it could be gotten rid of is that Jesus had to take your death penalty. The Father beat His Son to death. It pleased Him to bruise Him so that He could give you forgiveness and an everlasting life. And that's the only way that the payment could be done. He had to pay it. And as He hung on that cross, do you remember what He cried out? It is finished. So that's why I must be born again. See, sin makes me this way. God's creation was of one order, and sin comes in. And this is where I think there's an awful lot of misunderstanding. That sin isn't just what I've done. It's a nature that I hold. Does someone sin because they're a sinner, or do they become a sinner because they sin? And it's not a trick question. It's at the core of it. Romans 5. It's at the core of it. How many have children? Maybe grandchildren? Did you have to teach them to do all that stuff, or did they just do it on their own? I mean, the little toy is there, and then there's two children who go for it. One grabs it, pops the other one in the eye. GBH, you know what I'm saying? Who taught him how to do that? Who taught her how to do that? No, mommy, I haven't eaten the sweet chocolate all over the face. It's behind her back. And no, mommy, it wasn't me. Who taught them that? Did you? I hope not. Now, some parents do. I know that. But hopefully not. Not by example. Not by teaching and training. We find ourselves, sometimes we feel like we're fighting a losing battle because we're competing against the nature. That's why you must be born again. The Holy Spirit comes and He reveals our lack. And we feel it. Lord, I'm not good enough. He says, I know. But Lord, You don't understand it. I've done all these things against You. Yes, I know. Lord, You know I deserve what's coming to me. I deserve it. And I feel it, Lord. As I know. But see, He has to convince us of that, because often we come up with all sorts of other plans and programs to justify ourselves. And He comes by His Spirit and reveals. And we feel our lack. And then the Holy Spirit so graciously and gently turns us to the Lord Jesus. And we don't often want to look. We often want to fight it and, no, I'll fix it myself, Lord. I'll try harder. I'll become a better person. And we make our promises and our covenants, and we do everything that we think we can do, and yet we still go around in circles and circles and circles. And then finally the Holy Spirit helps us in turning us to Jesus. We don't want to look at Him dying there for me. We don't want to feel the humiliation that He had to do that for me, that there was no other way. We don't want to look and see the condemnation of God falling on His Son and thinking, Lord, why would You do that for me? Because I'm nothing. And then we have to respond. It's that place of surrender. God gives grace to the humble. We say, yeah, it's my fault, Lord. He's on that cross for me, Lord. It was for me He died. And we surrender. But it's not over there. That's not actually the full gospel. In fact, if you read the scriptures in Romans 10, by the time you get there, it actually doesn't say if you confess with your mouth that Jesus died on the cross for your sins that you'll get saved. It actually says that you confess Him as Lord, believing in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Because the gospel we have it doesn't end at the cross. If it ends at the cross, we're all in trouble. Because it's new life I need. I don't need just to be aware of how bad I've been. Sometimes I get a pretty good glimpse, you know? And I don't need just to be there in a place of constant condemnation, because Romans 8 says we've been moved from that place of condemnation into life. So I have a gospel of resurrection so I can see, yes, He died, He was buried, and all that stuff of mine laid on Him, He took it to the grave. He took it all to the grave. This is the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. And He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And He took it into the grave. And all my death gets killed there.
Hallelujah.
I get freed because He has taken it with Him. And He rises in power and glory. You know what that means? I get to go to church so I don't have to stay the same way. I mean, what's the point of going to church all your life and acting as though you never went once? I've pastored for a while, and sometimes, you know, I'm not bringing anything against your church, and this isn't said in that way, but I find with when I've been pastoring, I had a deacon come up and punch me once. I won't look at the pastor. I don't want to see if he's nodding or not. He did. I gave him a tape. It wasn't even my preaching. It was someone else's. And he didn't like it. So he comes into my... I'm a young man. He's an older man. He comes into my office and he punches me. In church? A Baptist church? Yup. I've been to church meetings. Well, what are you laughing at? I didn't say anything yet. A friend of mine, he grew up in India. And he says that their church meetings, often they had to have the riot police. Really? Love one another. Huh? Yeah, but that's business. No, it's not. That's your heart. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you won't produce the fruit of the Spirit. If you're not born again, you won't walk in newness of life. If you're not born again, there is no change. If there's no change, there is no change. You must be born again. When you leave the doors today, when you go home, and where will your mind be? Where does it go to? What's in your heart? What conversation goes on? Is God there, or is it a godless situation? If it's a godless situation, He's not there. You've not been born again. Because He comes to live there. Our religiosity does nothing. We live in newness of life. We start where the rest of the world is trying to get to. It's the gospel. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. You've been made righteous. You've been made accepted in the Beloved. He's reconciled you to Himself. Well, what happens if I'm unsure? Then go and talk to Him about it. Then go and seek His face. Well, how long should I do it? Until you know that you know that you know. Go and seek His face until you find Him. You'll find that all along He was saying, come here. I want you to belong to Me. For He came into the world to seek and to... He didn't come to... He came through the seeking and the saving. But in our experience, it's like, well, how can I be sure? Flee to Him. Flee to Him. Can He forgive everything? Everything can be paid for under the blood because the righteous judgment of God fell on Christ. And He sets you free. You change. Kind produces kind. It's a biblical principle. Dogs produce. Cats produce. Adam produces ones just like him. He ran from God and hid in the bushes. Hid from his spouse. The glory had lifted. He ran from God. But when God has kids, born of God, He places His DNA, His spiritual DNA in you. So we, when we do what He calls us to, they recognize who it is that we belong to and they glorify your Father who is in heaven. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead to live in you. For real. This isn't a theology. The Lord really is my shepherd. He saves completely. I've been reconciled. I've been adopted into His family. I've been made right before Him. You ever heard someone say, I'm a Christian. I'm just like you. I'm just forgiven. That's absurd. If you're just like the world, then you're not saved. Because we were saved out of the world unto Christ. How does God deal and speak of those that are His kids? Does He introduce the books of the New Testament saying to those who are just sinners wanting to someday be good enough? To the saints who are in Corinth. Corinth? I have no idea how messed up Corinth was. But they were redeemed. They were washed. They were sanctified in the Lord Jesus. Such were some of us. We were made clean. Belonging to Him. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth, what we really believe will come out here. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The bondages that we were under because of our nature get broken. They get broken. Pornography, broken. Extramarital relationships, broken. Gossip. Slander. Broken. So that the words that come out of our mouths are seasoned with grace. That benefit those who hear. Arrogance. Broken. Pride. Brought low. Are you a new creation this morning? I don't know if I'm good enough to be. Then you missed what I said. We come to Jesus. And He makes us the new creation. We run to Him. And He'll make you absolutely new. New life. And you know, on top of that, we find that He says that He'll place not only a new heart in us with those new affections, but He'll give us a new spirit. Without Christ, we're in the world and we're ruled over the prince of the power of the air. The spirit now dwells in the sons of disobedience, the Bible says, Ephesians 2. I think that's verse 1 or 2. But when we come to Him, He opens a door for us to know that rivers of living water, the springs in the desert, that it becomes an experience for us to know His fullness on a constant basis. We get to enter in and to know, because my flesh remains my flesh. It's just as ugly today as it's always been. And I need new life. I need His Spirit living in me and fullness so that I can overcome those temptations, overcome the deeds of the flesh, overcome that old man who is dying and perishing, and me as a new man being made, having been made alive and will live forever. I need His Spirit in helping me to live and to love. It's His fruit. It's not mine. And we come to know Him. And we ask Him. I think it's in Luke 11, isn't it? Where it says that if we ask and seek and knock, and how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to him who asks? I thought it was automatic. Why do I need to ask? James says we don't have because we don't ask. What if there's more? For real. What if fear doesn't have to bind me anymore? What if love can really be a way of life and I can love others even if they don't like me? What if their sin doesn't produce sin in me? What if we can really live as conquerors? Not dominating people, but walking in love, overcoming evil with good. Those aren't ideals. That's the substance of the new life. A new creation. Maybe this morning something's kind of twigged for you. Maybe it's like, well, maybe I thought I had something and maybe it's, yep, Lord, I know I'm yours and I just want to go on with you. Maybe this is all completely new. I've never really heard this before. In any case, you can go to Jesus. Lord, you save me. I want to know your fullness. Everything that you have provided for me in Christ, help me. I want to walk in it. I'm going to set my face to seek you. And if you do, you will find him. And you will find more of him than you've ever dreamt possible. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these, your people. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, in the providence of God, how you woven the events together that we would be found here today. Lord, that we would be those ears to hear, even as we asked you at the beginning. Lord, our hearts would be, as your servant said years ago, strangely warmed. The wonder, Father, of conviction, the wonder that you would show us the realities, the wonder, Lord, that you won't leave us in the mess that we've been in, but that you would bring us forward to yourself, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I thank you, Lord, that you cause us to be born again. Holy Spirit, come and reveal Christ in each heart here this morning. That the realities of Jesus would be known, Father, not just by theory or by church organization, but the realities of Christ in each one, the hope of glory, the confidence that I'm yours, and that the overflow, Father, out of our lives would bring you truly glory and honor, and we would be ministers of reconciliation, that the overflow of our mouth, Father, would be Christ, and others too, would know what it means to believe and to be saved. And so bless each one that's here. Bless each family that's here, I pray. I pray as we go home today, Lord, that our conversation won't just go off about everything else, but You'll draw our minds back to the things that were needful for each one this morning. That we would be gripped by You. Father, don't let go until that which is needful is produced. That we would be Your people in reality and fullness. We ask, Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name that according to Your great promise that it was to us and to our children, to those who are afar off, and to as many as the Lord our God would call, that You would pour out upon them this time of refreshing. Oh, Lord, that comes from Your presence alone. Bless Your people. For Christ has died and He's risen. And He is at Your right hand interceding, and so fulfill the promises for which He came. And bless this place, Father. Bless the pastor and all that they're putting their hand to, that it may be Christ-filled and Christ-infused, that the very fragrance of Jesus would be what flows out from this place. Come, Lord, and do Your work. Bring release from Deadwood, Lord. May life come. And we will give You all the honor and all the glory. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints.